Okay, so Om Gana Timirandasha Gananjana Shlokeya Chakshura Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. That's not loud enough. And I am loud enough, I think. Don't make it any louder. So, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So today, we are celebrating or commemorating or having initiation, and two types of initiation. There is the Brahman initiation or second initiation, and then there's the first initiation, which is called the Hari Nam initiation. So let's talk about Hari Nam initiation first. Of course, Hari Nam initiation means the initiation into the holy name. So it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita something very interesting. It says the holy name doesn't wait for initiation. So what are we doing? Why are we giving initiation if the holy name doesn't wait for initiation? Well, actually, anyone can chant the holy name without being initiated, and they can make spiritual progress. However, to chant the holy name without offense and purely, you need guidance. And also, you can't be breaking the 10 offenses or making the 10 offenses. So, in order to chant properly, one has to understand the proper mood, one has to understand the restrictions that are required, and the positive injunctions. Otherwise, one's chanting will remain on the level of what we call Nama Bas. Now, Nama Bas chanting is interesting, and it is very purifying. It means chanting accidentally, meaning something else, jokingly, or even derisively, making fun of someone else. And Namavas chanting is so powerful that you get liberated from chanting Namavas. That means even accidentally you chant the Lord's holy names, like the example given in the Harinam Chintamani, that when there was a particular jai, Shishi Gornatai, Gornatai Ki Jai. There was a Muslim who was attacked by a boar. A boar is a big pig, not a boring person. You know, that's sometimes I think a boring person is worse than a big pig. Anyway, so that's another point. So he was attacked by a boar, and he was chanting Haram, Haram. And he got liberated. So then why do you have to get initiated if you can get liberated? Well, the problem with liberation, that liberation means freedom from karma. But we want something more than liberation, being freed from karma. We want to realize our eternal spiritual blissful nature. And that requires guidance and complete Krishna consciousness. But anyway, let's glorify the Namavas chanting a little bit more. Because I know many people, they're very concerned about their karma and they spend a lot of time consulting astrologers, right? And the interesting thing is, Prabhupada said that when one chants the holy name, even accidentally, dances and chants, all the lines on your palms get changed. Your good fortune is made. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that even the Parabdha Karma, let me explain what I mean by Parabdha Karma. Even your Parabdha Karma, the karma you're suffering from at present, that means, you know, legal implications, your physical self, your problems in life, even your Parabdha Karma gets eradicated. But if you go to an astrologer, they'll tell you no. Because it's not good business for them. astrologers need to make money, right? Like everybody else. But the holy names, even Namabas, are so powerful that all your karma is eradicated. However, if you take advantage of that and just do more V-karmic things, that means things that are against the Vedic injunctions, then it won't work anymore. And that's, of course, is sitting on the strength of chanting, which is one of the offenses. So that's the wonderful nature, the amazing nature of Krishna's holy names. We should never, never minimize the potency in our minds or when we're speaking or with anyone else of the holy names of Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukto Vinatvam Nama Namino. The holy names are non-different from Krishna, whether you're initiated or not initiated. First, so, talking about initiation, we need guidance. And so the guidance, as I mentioned before, is first of all, what to avoid. In the yoga system, the Ashtanga yoga system, that's the first principle too. It's called yam. Yam, niyam, asana, pranayam, etc. Of course, from that word yam comes the word yama raj. He's the king of restrictions. And if you don't follow restrictions, you get to have a visit with Yamaraj. And he's not such a... he's kind, but he's not so kind to you when you go to see him. So first of all, the guru teaches one certain restrictions. Why are these restrictions necessary? Of course, we have the basic four restrictions. Excuse me. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, and no gambling. So why do we need to follow these four restrictions? The main reason, or several reasons, are, first of all, that these activities bring you down to lower modes of nature. Intoxication, for example, puts you in the mode of ignorance. Illicit sex puts you in the mode of ignorance. Gambling puts you in a mixed mode of ignorance and passion. So all these different, what we call sinful activities, bring you down to a lower level. And you need to be ultimately situated in the mode of goodness to make spiritual progress. Now the mode of goodness is not enough to get you back to Godhead. But it is the place from where you can perform devotional service in a fixed fashion, in a devotional fashion, so that you can go back to Godhead. Extremely important. Just like, and I use this example often, just like if you want to get on an airplane, you have to go to the airport, right? As far as I know. You have to go to the airport. And the interesting thing about the airport is there's a lot of other things that happen there other than flying. Anyone who's been to an airport recently knows there's all sorts of shops there and liquor stores. So you could go to the airport and not get on an airplane. So you can go to the mode of goodness and not become Krishna conscious. But you have to go to the airport to get on an airplane. So this is, in logical terms, that's called necessary. Anyone who studied logic in the university will know what I'm talking about. But it's not sufficient to go back to Godhead, to go to the mode of goodness. But cultivating the mode of goodness is extremely important. So these four activities, especially meat eating, or eliminating the meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, very important. And above that, we also have the 10 offenses on chanting the holy name that one has to avoid if you want to make spiritual progress. And those 10 offenses, which Srila Prabhupada would mention at every single initiation, are as follows. First offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating Krishna consciousness. And this fence is called the Mad Elephant Offense. Mad Elephant Offense means, using a particular metaphor, that when we are cultivating devotional service, we are cultivating something called the Bhakti Lata Bija. Bhakti Lata Bija is the seed of the creeper of devotional service. So according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, when you chant and hear about Krishna, this seed becomes a creeper, which becomes watered by the chanting and hearing process, which grows higher and higher and higher, eventually pierces the coverings of the material universe, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, and reaches Krishna's lotus feet. Now, if something happens to that creeper, just like if an elephant tramples a plant in your garden, because you don't have too many elephants here in Australia. Anyway, this is an Indian example. You know, I don't know what sort of example you would use in Australia, you know, a snake or whatever. Snakes, yeah. So, if the elephant tramples this, then your garden is finished. So your creeper of devotion gets finished by committing offenses, and you can commit offenses mentally, verbally, or what we call corporally. Corporally means physically. Just like you have that story of Brigham Muni that some of you may have heard. Brigham Muni, he committed offenses against Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. And what was that offense against Lord Brahma? He just didn't respect him properly. It's offense of the mind. Lord Shiva, he committed the offense verbally. And Lord Vishnu, he kicked him in the chest. Don't go kicking devotees in the chest. Don't go kicking Lord Vishnu in the chest. And, of course, Lord Vishnu, being completely situated in the mode of goodness, which is actually the test that Brigham Muni was trying to give all the presiding deities, he apologized for having a hard chest. And, but of course, Lakshmi didn't like it. She ran away at that point. But that's another story we're not going to tell tonight. So one has to be very careful. And the result of committing offenses is that one's taste for chanting, especially the first offense, one's taste for chanting becomes diminished. That just chanting your rounds will become like picking up bowling balls instead of beads and trying to finish your rounds. It'll be like torture if you commit offenses. So let's take a positive to that. Because I always like to talk about a positive to the 10 offenses. So the positive of not committing offenses against Vaishnavas corporally, verbally, or in one's mind, is to serve the Vaishnavas. The statement in the Shastras is, Mahatsevam Aurvi Muktes, that when one serves a great devotee, then one gets Krishna consciousness. That's the secret. The secret to spiritual advancement is to serve the devotees. Why? Well, we should love the devotees, but ultimately the devotees, Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite par, Krishna belongs to the devotees. The devotees have bhakti in their hearts. We all want bhakti. Bhakti, of course, means unalloyed devotion to Krishna. We all want that. I mean, I want it. I don't battle with you. We all want bhakti. But Krishna himself is not going to give you bhakti. Because bhakti, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and other acharyas, is independent. And bhakti resides in the hearts of the devotees. Like the verse I just quoted, Krishna is yours, referring to a devotee. You have the power to give him. I am simply running after you. This is talking to a devotee. Chanting or shouting, Krishna, Krishna, give me your mercy. Give me bhakti. So by serving the devotees, serving means, of course, doing what the devotee asks for. like Prabhupada said, that if you bring him milk and he asks for water, that's not service. But doing what the devotee asks for, then all perfection is reached. Just like in the example of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada is an interested in the devotee, of course. But how do we know objectively, not subjectively, you know, because as a disciple of Prabhupada, you can accuse me of being subjectively thinking Prabhupada is the greatest devotee. You know, of course, that's natural for disciples. But objectively, what is the objective standard we can understand by which Srila Prabhupada should be considered the best disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? The objective standard is that he took more than anyone else the words of his spiritual master to go to the Western world to preach in English. He took those words more as his life and soul than anyone else. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave those instructions to many of his disciples. Prabhupada wasn't the only one who got the instruction, you know, preach in English, go to the Western world, etc. But Prabhupada took it as his very life and soul, and of course, as we know, at the age of 70, he risked his life to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. So that's really the secret to perfection. The positive side of that offense is not to offend, but to serve. Very nice. Okay. And let's get on with the offenses. Second offense is to consider the names. Of course, some of you may have that problem, considering the names of the demigods, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, and Vayu. I can go through all the demigods. There's so many millions of them. To be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. And some of us, you know, we're a little attached to demigod worship. That's okay. We don't mind that people are a little attached. Just put the demigod on a lower level of the altar and offer the demigod Krishna's remnants. You know, you offer everything to Krishna, and you can offer the remnants to the demigod. That's fine, if you're attached in that way. But Krishna, Aham Sarvashya Prabhu, Krishna the source of everything, Aham Adiruti Devanam, Krishna the source of the demigods, and Krishna's name is not different from him, whereas the demigods' names are different from them. It's not that you can chant Indra, 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 and Indra is there in his holy name. Indra is the name of a position. Brahma is the name of a position. You understand? You can become Brahma if you want. I don't want. Who wants to manage a whole universe? I have enough problems being a GBC, let me speak of managing the whole universe. That would be, you know, you got four heads and four headaches. And some universes, Lord Brahma has 100 heads, 100 headaches. Definitely needs a doctor there. So, anyway, so these are positions. So the holy name of Krishna, Vishnu, or any of the incarnations, because Krishna has unlimited holy names. Nam Namakari Vaga, Nidusha Rishabti, and its potency is in all the holy names. Each holy name has a specific potency. Like if you chant Krishna, you go back to Krishna. If you chant Kurma, you go and join Kurma, the Kurma avatar, tortoise incarnation. So, all right, and third event is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Now, that's an interesting one. Of course, the positive is to obey the order of the spiritual master. But Prabhupada also said blind, absurd inquiries and blind following are not recommended. In other words, you follow the spiritual master, but you have a right to say why. You know, what is the logic behind a particular instruction? It's a dynamic relationship. It's not a one-sided relationship. I mean, if one blindly follows, then you end up in a situation like the story I'm about to tell. Like once upon a time, there was a guru, and he had a disciple, and his disciple was very devoted to him. And he said to the disciple, can you buy this for me? And the disciple said, yes, Guru Maharaj, whatever you want. everything's yours. And I said, can you buy that for me? And the Guru Maharaj, and the Guru disciple said, yes, of course, everything is yours, Guru Maharaj. And this and that, you know, they were buying things. The Guru thought, what a great disciple this guy is. And then eventually the Guru said, can you buy this for me? And the disciple said, there's no more money. And the Guru said, what happened to the money? And the disciple said, everything was yours, Guru Maharaj. In other words, he had spent the Guru's money, so this poor Guru had to go begging. So, blind following is not recommended. One needs to follow the Guru with intelligence. So that's a very important principle of devotional service. And then, of course, next offense is to blaspheme Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. Instead, we should glorify all the Vedic literatures, even the literatures which are preliminary in explaining the process of Krishna consciousness. Preliminary means there may be some Vedic literatures that advocate worship of the demigods. But those Vedic literatures, particularly the Rig Veda, for example, ultimately, they get people chanting the name of Krishna and they advocate Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Pada Pashanti Yat Surya. That ultimately, you should look towards Vishnu, all the demigods look towards Vishnu. So it's sort of a bridge preaching. Many of the Vedic literatures are meant for bridge preaching, and there's a purpose to that. So we don't blaspheme any of the Vedic literatures. Next events, we glorify. So the next offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. And they're not imagination, I can tell you that after chanting for over 50 years. By chanting and serving the Vaishnavas, one Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vaivyam Yam Chayada Hoitakam. One actually develops knowledge and renunciation from this material world. What is renunciation? Renunciation doesn't mean to hate the material world, to criticize the material world, because it's Krishna's energy. But renunciation means nirapeksha, to be neutral, detached from the world, and to use everything in Krishna's service by the principle of yukta vairagya. Just like we're using a microphone, and I'm recording this on my phone, whatever. This is all yukta vairagya stuff. And so that's another offense to be avoided. And then the next offense is to give some crazy and perverted interpretation about the holy name. People do that, oh, it increases my alpha waves or beta waves, and it makes me feel so good. You know, whatever. Don't give. There is a bona fide understanding or even interpretation of the holy name. One interpretation was given by the acharyas. You have the name Krishna. Krish means to attract, and Na means Ananda. Also, one other acharya said, Na means to negate this material existence. So we become happy, Ananda, and we negate this material existence or attachment to the material existence, and we become attracted to Krishna. That's Krishna's the most attractive. So, then the next offense is to commit sins on the strength of chanting the holy name. That is, don't think the chanting is going to excuse you from activities that are prohibited. Of course, by chanting, we become freed from karma, but if you use the chanting in your service to do that, then it's not going to work anymore. Next offense is to consider chanting to be like one of the rituals in the Vedic literatures, like karmakanda rituals. But even in Krishna consciousness, we have different rituals we do, certainly. I mean, just like you had the purification you were doing before the Achaman, of course, that's also the holy name we're using, but the different touching the different parts of the body, or we have another ritual, we wear certain types of clothes that are called dhotis or saris, or whatever, or pants. That's a joke. So anyway, so we have different rituals that we do, and these rituals are good because they connect, they help us remember Krishna. What is the first regulative principle? to always remember Krishna. What is the second regulative principle? Never forget Krishna. So one should accept everything favorable and reject everything unfavorable. These are Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's two surrendering principles. He has six of them. And the first two are to accept everything favorable for being Krishna conscious. Last one is to give up everything unfavorable. Of course, you need the guru to tell you what's favorable and what's unfavorable. You may think, I chant my japa better if I'm smoking marijuana. It really helps me concentrate and feels symptoms of ecstasy. I've heard people say that. This is not my invention. That's why you need a guru to tell you, you're nonsense. The guru's business is to train you up in humility and service attitude. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanta Gurodhitam Achyandasamanicham. The guru makes you or helps you understand that where you're living is, let's say, the ashram of the spiritual master, even if you're a householder, because the devotees who are taking initiation today are householders. And so everything that you have is meant to be used in the service of guru. Brahmachari. Even that word brahmachari is interesting. It means not only someone who wears saffron, who's a single celibate student, it means someone who is dedicated to the service of Krishna under the instructions of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada would sometimes say, grahastha brahmachari. Because in essence, the essential point is to be dedicated to the service of Krishna under the instructions of the spiritual master. So a grahastha is just as good as a brahmachari, is just as good as a sannyasi, and actually the statement is, kiva vipra kiva nyasi shuddha kiva nani. Yea, Krishna tatva veta se guru hoy. Whether one is, whenever one is, a sannyasi, learned person, whatever, man or woman, if one knows the science of Krishna, they are considered guru. Very important. So, the guru's business is to train the disciple in this principle. Well, actually, let me continue more with that first. Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasan Danta. He trains the disciple to be Danta, self-controlled. Danta means tame, literally in Sanskrit. And tame means taming what? The senses, including the mind. Manashashtani Indriyani Prakatishtani Kashati. So that the guru trains him. Vasandanta Gororhitam. And he trains the disciple to work for the benefit of the guru, and the guru is working for the benefit of his guru, and ultimately it's for the benefit of Krishna and the Krishna conscious movement. Just like in my own case, I identify myself as a servant of Srila Prabhupada. Someone asks you, what's your identity? I don't talk about a spiritual identity in the spiritual world. Oh, I'm a cow in Goloka Vrindavan. That's not true. Anyway, don't take that out of context. So I don't talk about that. I just say my identity is I'm a servant of Prabhupada. So when I make decisions in my life, because I had that basic training in Krishna consciousness, so when I make a decision in life, I make a decision based upon who I am and who I would like to be, a servant of Prabhupada. And so, yes, would Prabhupada want this? Would Prabhupada want that? Okay, I'll choose this, which is what Prabhupada would say, internalizing the spiritual master. That's really important, a very important principle in Krishna consciousness, Gauravitam. And anyway, so this is a verse in the Bhagavatam. I'm not going to do a whole purport on it. So, anyway, that's Krishna conscious. So getting back to the 10 offenses, is that we're talking about the 8th offense, not to consider chanting as one of the rituals. So it's not one of the rituals. There's so many things we do, but we can accept things that are rituals in order to help us remember Krishna and serve Krishna. That's the important thing. For example, this dress that I'm wearing, that, just a little example, this is a sannyas dress, but this was in started in our sampradaya by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because previously the sannyasis in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya wore like lungis, white lungis. That means like the long gangsha. Some of you know what that is? White. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they did not wear saffron. That, because that wasn't the standard. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur adjusted the ritual, adjusted the details for spreading Krishna consciousness. He actually studied different groups, different sannyasis in different groups, particularly in South India, the followers of Sripad Brahmanujacharya, the Sri Sampradaya. And he came up with this particular type of dress for us. So, anyway, so the point is we have this, but don't confuse this with going back to Godhead. I remember when I first took sannyas, when was that? 1978. Everyone thought, wow, now you become an advanced devotee by changing your dress. It doesn't work like that. You can change your dress all you want. I mean, sometimes it's even stated that someone dressed as a devotee is a Kali Chela. You understand? Kali Chela means a disciple of Kali. So don't confuse the external with the internal. But the real point is the chanting. The chanting is eternal. You do it in the spiritual world. You're doing it here. It's both the means and the end. It's the sadhana and the sadhya. Those are the two words, the means and the end. So don't confuse it with practically anything else we do. You know, of course, the deity worship is eternal, the chanting is eternal. But other things, like the style of dress, is not eternal. You can't take the dhoti with you back to Godhead.
Is that the seeker?
What?
About the seeker, is that eternal?
We'll have to talk about it when we get there. You know, well, actually, thank you for asking that question. One time the devotees, when I was young, the devotees were saying, you have to have a sika, so in that way God will pull you back to Godhead. If you don't have the sika, then you can't go back to Godhead. And I was thinking, what about the poor people who are balls? They're out of luck. And then I was also thinking, well, the women are actually luckier than the men. Because they can hang from their hair very easily. I've seen it in the circus, you know, sometimes it wasn't happening. So they can go back to Godhead. But yeah, I think with the sika I have, I'm not going back to Godhead. It's too small. So anyway, the point is dedication to the holy names. And Krishna Katha and the service of the Guru and the service of the mission of Srila Prabhupada, that gets you back to Godhead. And we do whatever is practical to accomplish that. That's all. You know, just, I mean, like, for example, I rise early every morning for chanting. But rising early without chanting has no value. Right? And my father used to rise early every morning. He never chanted his rounds, is in my head. So, to do business. And his, I guess he was chanting, what, money, money? Get some money, you know. That was his mantra. No, he's a nice father. And he helped support the Krishna conscious movement later on. But the point is, so rising early is important, but only to chant Hare Krishna. And to hear a chant, worship Tulsi, Devi, worship the deity, etc. So, anyway, so that's considering Hare Krishna to be one of the ritualistic activities. It's not. And especially in the Karma Kanja section. Karma Kanja section means activities that which will give you good karma. And then the ninth offense is to instruct the faithless about chanting. Now, let me unpack that one for a second. That means that we don't, it doesn't mean that we have to give up instructing people about chanting Hare Krishna. What it means is that we have to understand how much we can explain about the holy names to people, how receptive they are, how submissive they are, or how inimical they are, based upon that particular point. You have to use discrimination. And the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna and maintaining material attachments even after understanding some of the instructions in this matter. It's not offensive, I'm going to add to that. It's not offensive to have material attachments. It's offensive to try to cultivate them more without giving them up, because the purpose of Krishna consciousness is to gradually get rid of the anarthas. Now, that's very hard. Very hard to get rid of lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and everything like that. So we have an easy process. We do something positive. And what is that positive thing? We actually devote ourselves to Krishna. We develop a higher taste, and automatically these things go away. It's not that we have to concentrate so much on the negative. Oh, I'm experiencing so much lust. Why am I experiencing this lust? Let the lust go away. And you're thinking more about the lust than you've ever thought before. I remember in the early days, there were some devotees who were concerned with their brahmacharis, who were concerned with their attraction towards women. And so they talked more about the women than anybody else I've ever seen in my life. Said, they're just Maya. Those Maya devis. It's like the story Prabhupada told about two sannyasis, they were crossing the river. One of them helped the lady cross the river, and they were walking together for another 20 kilometers or something like that. And the one that didn't help the lady cross the river finally said to the one who helped the lady cross the river, "Why did you do this? I'm so disturbed about it." And the one who helped the lady cross the river said, "Yes, I helped her cross the river, but you've been carrying her for 20 kilometers." So the more you think negatively about something, the more you meditate on it. So when you get rid of material attachments, it's not by getting rid of them, it's by getting attached to Krishna. By devotion. This is bhakti yoga. This is not sangha yoga. It's not hatha yoga. These are all lower rungs on the yoga ladder. The topmost rung, yogi nama api sarvesham, is actually bhakti yoga. And it's the yoga of attraction. The yoga of a higher taste. Vasovarjam rasyokya sat param drishtari bhartate. Krishna consciousness like that. Okay, and also Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, now that we went through 10 offenses, sort of an 11th offense or an all-encompassing offense, inattentive chanting. So if one's attentive, then one won't commit the other 10 offenses. And how does one remain or become attentive while chanting? You have to give your heart while chanting. It's not just ritualistic, trying to pull the mind back. You have to have some sankalpa, some purpose, some reason for chanting that's important for you. I mean, even you take Dhruva Maharaj, who was chanting, to have a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. I'm not saying you should do that. I want a kingdom greater. I want a car better than, whatever. But still, because he had an emotional intensity, that's the point I'm making, in the chanting. He was practically crying when he was chanting. Then he achieved perfection very, very quickly. Of course, he did have to perform really heavy austerities, like stopping eating, stopping drinking, stopping breathing. Yeah. Don't try that. So Dhruva Maharaj did that. So what we learn from that is, akama, sarvakama, moksha, kama, dharati, kubhena, bhakti, yugani, yajeti, puru, sham, param. That you focus your heart on Krishna, and you have this sankalpa. I am chanting because... whatever. I'm chanting for someone else's benefit. I'm chanting because I want to be Krishna conscious. I'm chanting because I want to please my spiritual master. I'm chanting because I want to make spiritual advancement. Whatever. You figure it out. I can't give you your why. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Very important. Otherwise, if you don't have a why, you're Niyamagraha Prabhu. Niyamagraha Prabhu means you're ritualistic. You're following, as someone asked today, you're following the letter of the law without the spirit of the law. And that is a cause even of fall down, according to Srila Rupa Goswami. Isn't it? Achahara payasas jalpa jalpa nimagraha. That is following ritualistically. Putting yourself on automatic. chanting your rounds, and then not even being aware where you're chanting rounds, thinking in your mind about whatever else you want to think about, you know, the latest Star Wars movie or something, while you're or how many patients you have. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, so whatever. I mean, when you're chanting, it has to be with an emotional intensity. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavamodu kripaya tapa pada bhankaja stita duli sadrasam vachitya. O son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant. Somehow or other, I've fallen into this horrible ocean of birth and death. Please fix me up as one of the atoms or specks of dust at your lotus feet. I'm begging you. My godbrother, Guru Govinda Maharaj, would often say that he's opened up a crying ashram. Great devotee passed away. And that meant, and that was in Bhubaneswar, India. That means when you chant, you know, tears don't come from your eyes. The Bhagavatam says your heart is certainly steel-framed. If you're not feeling intense emotions while you're chanting, you're doing something wrong. So correct it. Correct it. You know, why are you chanting? What do you want from Krishna? So anyway, so that's really important. That's how you have attentive chanting. How you keep the mind focused on Krishna. Intensity. Tivraina bhakti yogena yujeta purusham param. Okay, so that's first initiation, and of course the devotees are vowing to chant the 16 rounds without events, follow the four regulative principles, I understand that, and then ultimately dedicate themselves to serving as divine grace, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's mission. All of us are part of Srila Prabhupada's mission. Srila Prabhupada is the ultimate siksha guru for everybody in the Krishna conscious movement. And what will please me, and of course it please Prabhupada, is we dedicate ourselves and our talents to helping push forth Prabhupada's movement, which means to help Prabhupada create a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. So that's the first initiation and joining Krishna consciousness in general. And the second initiation, called Brahman initiation, means basically, of course, to chant the Gayatri mantras and ultimately to do some deity service, which is a very important part of chanting the Gayatri mantras. But in order to be successful in chanting the Gayatri mantras, which help connect you to Krishna and your spiritual master and bring you closer, one needs to cultivate the mode of goodness. Even first initiation, you need to cultivate the mode of goodness, but especially second initiation. And some of the qualities of the mode of goodness are mentioned in the Gita. Some of them, Adanta Paksha Cham Shanti Raja Meva Chagana Vigyan must become Brahma Karma Subhavajan. And I'm going to go very quickly because the time is running out. So that means that to cultivate the mode of goodness, which is, we mentioned, is the jumping off point from to go to the spiritual world, like the airport. Cultivate the mode of goodness, one has to be equal poised, happiness and distress. First lesson in Gita is like that too. And Dhamma, self-control, controlling the senses. Austere means not lying on a bed of nails or some stupid thing like that. Austere means to accept things that please Krishna, reject things that don't please Krishna. Let me mention the two surrendering principles a few minutes ago. Tapa-shocha and clean. Prabhupada specifically said that Brahman means shuchi, which means clean, internally, externally. Internally, by always remembering Krishna, like the mantra was just chanted, Yatsmaret Pundarigaksham Savaya Abhyantara Shuchi Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu, internally. And externally, by cleaning, and, you know, bathing regularly, at least two or three times a day, cleaning your hands before eating, clean your hands after eating, obviously. We used to, also Prabhupada used to have us clean our feet before eating in. But that became a little impractical because we were using the same sink in the prasadam room to clean our feet with our hands. So it wasn't so advisable. And especially now that you have the compassionate virus. Karuna. Did you know? That's where it came from. Question? Do you have this compassionate virus, corona virus? That is very important to stay clean, because Prabhupada said that, you know, he did say disease comes from uncleanliness, overeating, that's a big one, and anxiety. So if you can avoid these three things, you're going to be pretty healthy. Uncleanliness, overeating, and anxiety. How do you avoid anxiety? I don't know. So, no, I do not. You just see Krishna in everywhere and in everything. Yomam Pashati Sarvatra, Sarvam Chamaya Pashati, 6:30 in Gita. See Krishna in everything, and then Krishna's with you. Whatever happens, you know, Krishna, Govinda, like that. And then, you know, other qualities such as tolerance, honesty. We should always be honest, never lie to anyone. The only time you can lie is to protect someone's life. That's okay. That's mentioned in the Mahabharata, actually. So don't lie, and cultivate jnana vijnana. Study Srila Prabhupada's books and apply that knowledge in your own lives. And that's what a Brahman is. A Brahman is not simply someone with a sacred thread or the Gayatri mantra. That's not what a Brahman is. Brahman is by quality. And Krishna mentions this in the Gita, Chaturvarnamayashvastam, Gunakarma, Vivadasham. So this is the purpose of this initiation, and ultimately we are making promises to be part of Prabhupada's family and serve Prabhupada's mission. This is within Prabhupada's mission. Remain faithful to Prabhupada's mission, no matter what. That has been my most important thing that I've thought about, always remain faithful and serve Prabhupada's mission. Save the world. The world needs saving. Okay, so thank you very much. That's the lecture, whatever. And now we'll give the names. Is that right? What's that? So the two devotees are getting what? Two devotees are getting first initiation, and the beans, of course. What? Yes.
Just introduce the initiates. So first on the right hand side is Komal Chan. She is younger sister of Sita Devi Dasi, and she has lived with Ramvijay from Sita Devi Dasi for the last few years, and really cultivated her. You can see. She is a bit shy, but a great kirtani as well. If you don't know. Her profession is a registered nurse. Next to her is Anshul Chan. She is a devotee from Sydney. She has done a lot of service at the Sydney Temple. I know her from university. In fact, I taught her at the university, and she was one of the most outstanding students, very intelligent. She is a pharmacist by profession, and a business owner with multiple pharmacies as well. And she is her desire to serve Prabhupada.
Wow!
And taking Brahman initiation is Sita Devi Dasi. Everybody knows Sita Devi Dasi. She does God service to the temple, specifically cooking for God Nitai on every Monday, I think. And she has extensive support to Arnold Sakseta as well. And she's a business analyst by profession. Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Ram Vijay Prabhu is husband of Sita Devi Dasi. He is actually a multitasker. He started with an IT specialist. And he was an IT specialist, working as an IT specialist. He also is a handyman, so he does a lot of building work as well. And recently he just graduated with a nursing degree as well.
Wow.
He is a multi-talented also, so he can play mridanga and he can play harmonium and any organ. He's a great kirtaniya. Last time our Kartik program, he did outreach preaching program, 30 lectures.
Very well. Okay, so first we're going to call, actually the two first initiates will come up and get their fees, but the way they do that is first they offer obeisances to His Veneration of Prabhupada, then Sri Sri Gauranatai, and then they come up, offer obeisances to my not so humble self after that. So first, actually in this order, Anshul will come first and Komal second.
Just
And then the deed is. Okay. And then what are the four regulated principles?
No meat eating and fish, yeah. And no illicit sex, no alcohol, drugs, together with no drugs, and no gambling.
Very good. And how many rounds of gin every day? 16 rounds every day.
Every day.
Very good. Minimum. And if possible, more on a cup of soup. Okay? So, let's see. So your name now, you have to be with your right hand, is Krishna Leela Devi Dasi. That's a nice name, isn't it? Okay. Next. Come off. Whoops.
The husbands are taking the photos, so they'll be taking any children next.
So what are the four regulated principles?
Four principles are no meat eating, fish or eggs, and no illicit sex, and no intoxication, and no gambling.
Very good.
And you have to chant 16 rounds.
16. You win 7 out of them. In Fiji, we actually, because they're not in Fiji now, but in Fiji we usually add an additional regulated principle, is no kava. Because they don't think it's intoxication, it's like, it's part of the Ramayana program. I mean, it's hard to believe, like after reciting the Valmiki, not Valmiki, the Tulsidas Ramayana on Ram Nomi, they'll stay up all night long, the men, not the women. Women are more pious. Completely intoxicated. Taking kava. Of course, you don't have any problem. So, okay, so you get the beads with your right hand. And your name right now is Krishna Karuna Devi Dasan. Nice name, Krishna Karuna and Krishna Leela, right? The Krishna sisters. Krishna Karuna and Krishna Leela. All right, and the, I should give the Brahman thread now, but I have to chant on it. What's that? We can do it afterwards, okay. Yeah, because we're running late, so.